you in the room today. Amen. God is so very, very good. You may be seated today. You've done that. God bless you. I want my wife to come real quick, real quick. There's house music on in this monitor. I want you to just meet my wife real fast. Amen. There's music in these monitors. I don't know. Amen. Awesome. This is my wife, Kristen. I want her just to say hello to you real quick.
Hello, and I'm so glad to be here. And I was looking over the crowd this morning and watching y'all come to the house of God. Sure. And I thought, what a beautiful people of God, a church of God. And I appreciate you guys, and I love your worship, and I'm so, so glad to be here. Thank you for making me feel so welcome.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's my wife right there. Amen. I know I made myself at home today and just walking around the building and just feeling this house and just wanting to feel the worship all across the room and see what God is doing in this house. It's great to be here. I love meeting you and connecting with you from the moment we pulled in today. We've been either meeting folks or saying hello to people that we met just a few weeks ago. And let me tell you what is awesome. As someone who is your guest today, who is not here every Sunday, sometimes when you're here every week, you know, you take a lot of things for granted, or you just get used to and accustomed to things. That's just the way they are. But when you're a guest and you see things through fresh eyes or the first time, it is awesome to meet so many people in this house that love their church. Every one of you are so proud of this church, and that is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, and I've climbed stairs today and looked into closets and buildings. We want to show you around, you know, and just incredible to see and just to hear passionate people who embrace this house, who love this house, and who want a great future for this house. And we're thankful to be here today. I do want to share with you for a few minutes today. I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm mindful of my time today and want to get right to the word of the Lord. Can I just work today? Can I do what I need to do today just to allow God to do his thing? Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1, 2 Kings chapter 2. I may skip around a few verses, but I'll direct you and you can follow along with me. I want you to grab the crux of this story today. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Verse number 4, then Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Verse 6, then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." Verse 8, now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." I want you to notice they get to Gilgal, and Elijah, the older prophet, says to the younger man, I want you to stay here in Gilgal. And Elisha says, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went to Bethel, they went to Jericho, they went to Jordan. Each time Elijah said, "I want you to stay here, just stay in any one of these places." And Elisha keeps responding the same. I can't stay here. I want to keep going where you're going. I can't stay here when I'm not sure what is next. I can't remain where I am if there is the possibility of something else out there for me. Just look at someone and tell them, "I gotta know what's next. I gotta know what's next." That's what I want to preach for just a few moments this morning. I gotta know what's next. What does God have for me? What does God have for this house? What is God doing in your life and in mine? I gotta know what's next. Father, thank you for this time in the Word today. I pray that you would bless and you would just do great things all across this house today. Let your Word just find good ground in our hearts and our minds, that it can plant, that it can resonate, that it can take root and bring a beautiful harvest in our lives. I pray for this church, the church at Covington. I pray, Lord, for the people of this house. I pray for every guest that has made their way into this place today, that before we leave today, that something would happen in each of our lives, something would be planted in our hearts that would leave our week so much better, that would just put us on a path and a course that is favored and blessed of you. We pray it today in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. I love this story, and really, I need to give you a little bit of backstory, because Elijah and Elisha, these two very similar names, it's easy to get these two men mixed up. Elijah is the older prophet who has been God's man for many, many years, and Elisha is this young man who is going to have an incredible ministry and is going to be used mightily and powerfully of God. In fact, he's going to do more miracles. He's going to be a part of more miracles than Elijah has seen in his time as a prophet. But that's not where it began. Where it began was Elisha plowing behind a yoke of oxen. That's where Elijah meets him. And we don't have a record of these two having met before. It doesn't at least indicate that Elisha knows who Elijah is. Maybe Elijah is well known. Maybe he is familiar with him by reputation. We really don't know. What we know is that Elisha, the younger man, is plowing behind a yoke of oxen. He is plowing in his father's field. He is following in his father's footsteps. He is doing what his father and his grandfather and generation after generation has done before him. When Elijah, this older prophet, comes walking down the road, and the Bible said that he threw his mantle onto Elisha. He doesn't introduce himself to the young man. He doesn't say, "Hi, I'm Prophet Elijah, and I am about to change your life, or I have an offer for you that you will not be able to refuse." He just threw his mantle onto Elisha, and immediately something is birthed in Elisha This hunger, this desire, this want is born in Elisha. And he says, you know what? I need you to hold what you got. I need you to stay right there for one moment. I am going to kiss my father and my mother goodbye, and I am coming with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to go wherever you go. I'm going to do whatever you do. And right there, Elijah begins to say, no, you just stay here behind that yoke of oxen. You just keep plowing. And Elisha was so serious about what had happened to him. He was so serious about the experience that he had right there with that mantle, that the Bible says that he slew the yoke of oxen and he burned their flesh right there on an altar. And he said, you know what? There is nothing left for me to continue. There's nothing left for me to go back to. That's how serious I am. It's another message, and I don't have time to preach that one today, but I think it is indicative. I think it is telling of our relationship with the Lord. I don't know what it was like for you the first time that you experienced the presence of God. I don't know what it was like for you the first time that you walked into this kind of an atmosphere and was touched by the mantle of God's presence, God's spirit, and something was born inside of you that said, you know what, I've got to have more of this. I want all of this that he has for me. I want to experience all that the Lord has, every gift, every promise. I want to walk in the word of the Lord. That is what it was like for Elisha. There was no other option for him but that he serve the Lord all the days of his life. And so he follows Elijah, and ultimately he's chasing that mantle. I want that. I want that experience. I want it to happen again and again and again. See, this is not just a one-time deal for me. This is not just an occasional Sunday thing for me. This is not just a Christmas and Easter only experience in my life. There's something in me that is addicted to this. I want to feel the presence of God every time I come to church. Is there anybody that identifies? Is there anybody that would say, yeah, me too. I don't want to. I want to be in the house of God. I don't like it when I have to work. I don't like it when I have to be gone. I want to be in the house of God because I love to feel the presence of the Lord. Is there anyone that loves to feel the presence of God? Yeah. There's nothing like this. There's nothing like this. Ah, oh, Pastor Darrell, you looked a little foolish down there with your little white boy dance. I know I look foolish, but see, my desire to feel God, my desire to experience him in a fresh way on this Sunday, October the 15th. Oh, shoot, aren't taxes due today? Anybody else file an extension? God bless us, everyone. Ah. Oh. That depressed me. I need to get in an altar and pray. I want to feel the presence of God. That is where Elisha is. And so when they come to Gilgal, Elijah says to Elisha, look, I want you to stay here. Gilgal is a nice place. Nothing wrong with Gilgal. Why don't you just stay right here in Gilgal and see what this town has for you? When you study Gilgal, it literally means a wheel. It means a place of turning. It's a place where things are set into motion. If you look at your church experience juxtaposed with Gilgal, that's kind of like where I first started coming to church, you know, and it just seemed like things begin to turn in my life. It just seemed as though things began
to come into alignment and things begin to come together in my life. That's where you're saying things like, I've never felt anything like this before. I'm interested in more. I'm curious about what is going on here. See, some of you church folk that have been around all of your life or been in this all of your life, again, it's just common to us. This is just what Sunday looks like. But there's other people that walk into this room and they've never felt anything like this before. They've never experienced anything quite like this before. And they're saying, what is this? What? I didn't know this existed. I didn't know there were churches that worshiped with this kind of energy or expression. I didn't know I could feel something like this when I came to church. That's Gilgal. And I'm interested in more, and I am Elijah. But listen, I need to know about that mantle. Because if that mantle is staying in Gilgal, then I may stay in Gilgal. But if you're telling me that you're going somewhere else, then as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, I cannot stay here. I gotta know what's next. And he said, well, the Lord has called me to Bethel. I gotta go to Bethel and have some business to do there, and maybe Bethel is where you need to be. That's probably more a fitting place for you, Elisha. Why don't you stay here in Bethel? Bethel means the house of God. Bethel is church. Bethel is the place where I'm finally connected. Man, I'm making friends. I'm in a community of believers. These folk have become like family to me. People know my name in Bethel. I know other people's names in Bethel. This is great. I've got a preacher up there that'll marry me, hopefully just once. I've got a preacher that'll bury me, hopefully a long, long, long time from now. But it's great to just be a part of a church. I go to church. That's Bethel. It's the house of God. It's a beautiful building. It's a comfortable seat. Our kids are safe. The worship is awesome. I love having a church that I go to. I go to that church. That's probably the most awkward question when you meet people that you can ask. Where do you go to church? Man, what's the name of that? Oh, you know, over there on the, I go to that church. Yeah, sometimes we're connected to a church. Sometimes we're a part of a church. Sometimes we attend church, but it hasn't really become our church. It hasn't really become our house. Let me just speak to someone in this room that maybe you've been coming the last few weeks or the last few months. Maybe you've been kicking the tires and just looking around and trying to see if this is the church for you. I just want you to know that whatever it is you've experienced thus far, whatever has happened in your life thus far, whatever you've felt up until this moment, think things that God has. I really do believe, like Paul said, that eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and it's not even entered into the heart of man what it is that God wants to do in our lives. But hear me when I tell you that God, however good he's been to you, he wants to be so much more in your life. Whatever he's done for you, he wants to do so much more in your life. God has yet another level for you. It's got more for you. Bethel, this is nice. Yeah, Elijah, I'm tempted. Look at the beautiful decor and look at all the nice people, and this is great, this is awesome, but what's next? What's next? Because I met all the people and I still was thirsty. I got involved in the programs and still there was something calling me higher and something calling me further. Tell me what it is that's next. And he said, well, God has called me to Jericho. Got to go to Jericho now. Jericho, that's where things begin to happen. Jericho, Jericho is the place of deliverance. Jericho is that place where walls begin to come down. Now Jericho is, it's not just me coming to church when I feel like it. Now something is starting to happen inside of me. I used to come to church thinking one way, and God has been messing with the way that I think. I used to come feeling one way, and now I'm leaving feeling a complete different way. Why? Because Jericho is the place of deliverance. Jericho is the place where walls begin to fall. I'm wondering in this room if there's at least one testimony who would say, listen, I am that person that when I started coming to church, walls began to fall in my life and God delivered me. Maybe he delivered you out of an addiction. Maybe he delivered you out of a crazy thought life. Maybe he delivered you out of some struggle that you were having in your life, but just a little while in the presence of God, and all of a sudden the walls begin to fall in my life, and I begin to feel the strength of the Holy Spirit moving in my world. Jericho, Jericho is that place. It's that place of refreshing. It literally means the place of descent. The place of descent. It's where something descends or flows down. This is what Elisha was looking for, even when he didn't know what it was he was looking for. This is what Elisha was in search of, even when he couldn't contextualize it or verbalize it. He couldn't even tell Elijah what it was he was searching for, but this was it. It was that place where something begins to descend into his life and begins to flow into his life. Can I be presumptuous this Sunday morning to tell you that I believe this is what all of us are looking for? Even if we can't verbalize, even if we can't put it into words, even if we can't quite come up with the word picture that we need to do, this is what I woke up this morning wanting and craving when I was putting on the clothes, when I was getting myself ready, when I was gassing up the car, when I was making sure the kids were all lined. This is what I was desiring in my life, a place where there is flow. A place where I send praise up and God sends something down. A place where I look up into the heavens and it's not just a blank stare and it's not just a quiet response, but God says, hey, I've got something for your life. I have something for your family. I have something for your house. I have something for your marriage. I have something for you. You're not just going to come and serve my house and me not bless you. You're not just going to come and give and me not pour out blessings on you. You're not just going to come and extend energy and me not pay you back. You better get ready, because Jericho is the place of descent. It is the place where God's blessing begins to flow in your life. It's the supernatural, because until now it seems as though I've been asking and seeking and knocking. Now, since I've gotten to Jericho, something is happening and my asking is being answered and my seeking is finding, and there's doors opening where I'm knocking. God is up to something. He's sending something. He's moving in powerful ways. It's Jericho. It's Jericho where literally, it's amazing to me. Jericho is that fragrant place, where you start to smell, you start to smell like this place. That sounds awkward. That sounds weird. But listen, it's the fragrant place where not only have I come to church, but now I'm having the opportunity to affect church. I'm making a difference in the house. Now the fragrance of his presence is not just an in-house thing. It's not just an in-the-moment thing. But when I go to work, people are saying, hey, what is that about you? What's going on in your life? Why are you always smiling? Why are we struggling and you seem blessed? What is going on? It's just Jericho. I smell like the blessings of God. It's the fragrance. It's the fragrance of his anointing. It's the fragrance of his presence. It's the fragrance of his spirit. When I put cologne on, my wife is very sensitive, and it's my favorite compliment when someone says, you smell good. You know, there's something about walking into a room and you literally change the atmosphere of the room by the way you smell. That can be a really good thing. It can be a really bad thing. But don't think of it as smells in the natural. Think of it as the spiritual fragrance. That when you walk into a room, you change the climate of that room. You say, Pastor Dale, how is that even possible? How could that even work? I mean, I'm just going to work my 55 hours a week. Yeah, but when you get to work, when you get there, you walk in, something changes in the atmosphere. I'm crazy enough to believe that because you work there, that business is blessed. I'm crazy enough to believe that because you walk through the doors 5, 6, 7 days a week there, that business is prospering. Why? Because you have the fragrance of God's blessing on your life. Jericho, this is a place, but where are we going? Well, Jordan is next. That's that supernatural place. Jordan is that place of descent. Jordan is that place of flow. Jordan is what you didn't realize what happened. It's the place you didn't know what happened. I remember when I was just a young guy, and I was feeling the call of God on my life. I was feeling that God wanted to use me in a powerful way, and I went to my pastor, and you know, it was a Sunday after church, and no doubt he was tired and weary and all of that. And he was just there in his office. I need to talk to you. I've got something very important that I want to tell you. And he invited me to sit down, and I was nervous, and wasn't sure I knew what to say or how to handle it or what to do or anything like that. And I tried fumbling my way through telling him that I felt the call of God on my life and felt the direction of the Lord moving my life. And I thought, you know, he was probably going to ask me to preach that Sunday night. I just knew for sure that he was going to say, hey, I want you to pastor this church. Hey, here's the keys to my Lincoln Continental. No, he said, that's nice. Where are you going to lunch today, son? Have a good day. What? Wait a minute. God called me. I don't know if that went the way it was supposed to go. It was probably me. And so I waited a few weeks, and it was another one of those Sundays where things just, you know, it was just that overwhelming, strong feeling in my life. And again, found him in that office, and I need to talk to you. And I just kind of went through the whole thing again. And again, he said, well, that's nice. Why don't you, you know, go do this or go do that. And 3 or 4 times. And finally, my young mind, my young heart had the nerve to say, Pastor, I don't know if you're hearing me. And he said, no, I'm hearing you just fine. But see, if I can talk you out of this, then you're not really made for this. If I could convince you something else was more important, then this is not everything to you. Elisha, what kind of church you looking for, man? You just want one of them
sing the right songs and have the right furnishings and got the programs. Is that what you're looking for? Or are you trying to get to a place where there is the flow, a descent, the supernatural? Are you trying to get to a place that where the mantle of the Holy Spirit sees people healed and people set free, people helped? Where marriages just don't automatically end in divorce, but a place where there is healing, and there is grace, and there is help. You see, I just got to know what's next. I just got to know what's next. Got to know what God has for us. What does God want to do? Because just a church that exists, Listen, church at Covington, you got all that. The building is incredible. The grounds are phenomenal. Furnishings, music. We're a church. We're a church. We're a church that you are and should be proud of. But I'm wondering what's next. Is there a revival coming to this house that fills those 25 seats that are without body? That row that has no one? That spot back there? Are there families coming that have kids to fill these rooms I walked into earlier? Cafe bustling with conversation. Hallways teeming with people, parking lot overflowing. What's next? What's next? We're at the crossroads, Elisha. We gonna stay in Bethel? We gonna stay in Gilgal? Or are we gonna keep pushing? Ah, maybe it's been tough. Maybe there have been some long nights. Maybe there have been some hurt feelings. Maybe there have been some challenges along the way. If you think that getting anything from God is easy, Bible said it's through much tribulation that we see the key. Sometimes you got to wrestle a thing. Sometimes you got to fight your way through a thing. Sometimes you got to press in. Some things, the Bible said, only come by prayer and fasting. But it's all about this question, Elisha. What do you want? Why have you been following me, pestering me, asking, seeking, knocking? What do you want? Didn't realize that was a question I was going to be asked. Sir, but I can answer it. I want double. I want more. I want beyond. I want vision so big that it scares us. Pastor Darrell, are you sure you know what you're getting into? I walk around this building today, and it's not just a 10 a.m. service. I see it's multiple services with this many people and more in each one of them. What's next? What's next? Is it going to take work to get there? You believe it is. Will there be challenges? Absolutely there are, but you've already graduated from Hard Knocks. You know something about challenges, but guess what? You're still here. And you're not by yourself. You just got to know what's next. There's talent. There's passion. There's people sitting all over this room. No one even knows what you can do. what you want to do and what God's called you to do. But you're just waiting, holding back to see what's next. It's double. It's bigger than anything you and I have ever seen. Do you want it? I gotta know what's next. I gotta know what's next. What does God have for me? Would you stand with me across the room today?